Hi everyone, I'm Masood Mushif, and this is a joint work with Milan Yu, Abhishek Sharma, and Ramesh Govindan. I will talk about a virtual cloud rule information base called vCRIB. Managing data centers network involves different kind of policies, and these policies are applied using rules. For example, to limit the communication between two tenants, we use access control policy. Rate limiting, traffic measurement, and traffic engineering policies are also possible in a data center. By rule, I mean an action on a hypercube of floor space. A few examples of actions are deny normal forwarding of the packet or sending the packet to a queue for QoS enforcement. The floor space is defined on flow fields such as source and destination IP protocol and source and destination port. Let's see a sample rule in a two-dimensional space of source and destination IP. The default rule is deny and is presented by a red box. R1 is an accept rule and is presented by the green rectangle parallel to the axis of the floor space. Note that real-world floor space is more complex and has more dimensions. In current practice, data center operators place rules on predefined fixed machines. For example, they can save rules only on hypervisors, or in the other extreme case, save rules only on internal switches. However, machines have limited memory and CPU, so they can be overloaded. As a result, the policy itself should deal with the limited resources. Also, each data center has different resource constraints, so an implementation in one data center may not work in another data center. And at last, we have multiple policies in the data center. For example, tenants may define access control rules while the operator defines traffic engineering policy. So even if a policy optimizes the placement based on the resource constraints, different policies may not be aware of each other and compete for resources. vCRIB's goal is to flexibly place rules in on both hypervisors and switches based on resource constraints. For example, it may save rules only on top of rack switch 1 and 2 other servers. But can there be so many rules in a data center? There are some policies that define rules to control the traffic between a pair of VMs, like access control policies or bandwidth allocation policies. If we have a data center with 100K VMs, even if 1% of VMs communicate with each other, we may have about 1 million rules. Also, it's easy to have about 100 million flows in a data center with 10K machines. And if we want per flow decision, for example, for flow measurement for traffic engineering, the number of rules will be huge. Also, there are some policies that define rules based on VLANs per server. And in this case, we may have also large number of rules. There are two candidates to place a rule in a data center, hypervisors and switches. Our position is that there is no clear winner. Based on performance, software switches on hypervisors are slower than hardware-based switches. But hypervisors are more flexible and they can support more complex rules, while switches may only support a subset of OpenFlow specification. Hypervisors are closer to VMs, and they can block unwanted traffic as soon as possible. On the other hand, switches see external traffic sooner and have a view on aggregate traffic. The load capacity on hypervisors is limited based on the CPU budget that the operator allocates to software switches. Note that the operator prefers a smaller CPU budget for hypervisors and larger for the consumer per machine to maximize the revenue. The number of TCAM entries in the switch also limits the load capacity in the switch in data centers. And there are only a few thousands of TCAM entries per switch. Load location in the data center creates a trade-off between resource and bandwidth usage. Suppose that I want to save a deny load on a hypervisor, but this hypervisor is overloaded. So a solution is to move that load in another switch, in a switch in the network, for example, here, top of rack switch one, and forward traffic there to decide in top of rack switch. But there will be traffic overhead in the network. So we did an experiment to see what is the effect of reducing the number of rules on OpenV switch, which is used in Zen hypervisor. We set a CPU limit on the switch process in the source machine and see with how many rules it can support 1.5K new flows per second. An important point here is that because of the classifier implementation of OpenV switch, its performance depends on the number of wildcard patterns in the rule set. By wildcard pattern, we mean the set of ignore bits in the mask of that rule. For example, here, in the R1 rule that we saw earlier, the star characters show the ignore bits in the mask. The diagram shows that the CPU usage depends on the number of rules and the number of wildcard patterns in the rule set. So the goal is to reduce the number of rules and make OpenFlow handle the same number of new flows with lower CPU budget. Another scenario is that suppose that we have a top of rack switch that is overloaded and doesn't have more TCAM entries. So if we want to save a rate limiting rule on that, it's not possible. So instead, we save the rule on another switch, for example, aggregate switch one, and we forward traffic there. This scenario shows that the trade-off is not also between, it's not only between hypervisors and switches, but also between the switches themselves. So our approach is to provide a rule placement abstraction layer that allows the operator to define fine-grained rules without worrying about the resource constraints. VCREEP gathers the information about the network resources and traffic and places the rules on both hypervisors and switches to optimize the performance given the resource constraints. But let's look closer to the rule set. Rules are not just disjoint blocks, but if we suppose a two-dimensional flow space on source and destination IP, there are more like overlapping boxes which have priority, and the packets should match the highest priority rule. If we save a rule like R1 in one machine and others in another machine, packets that match the highlighted area will match the long rule. In this case, they will match R2 instead of R1. And this kind of dependency can be seen between R2 and R3 and R3 and R4. To break this kind of dependency, we partition the rule set using some cuts. For example, here we have three partitions and two cuts. A cut may split a rule and inflate the rule set size. For example, here, the number of rules increased from 5 to 9 rules. Then I save I save each partition on different machines. The partitioning algorithm will be like recursively cut the partitions to create a binary space partition tree. In each step, it selects a cut that balances the size of two sides and creates less number of new rules. We prefer smaller partitions as they are more flexible to place and match fewer communicating VMs, so it makes lower traffic overhead. We keep partitioning, but every time we partition, there is inflation in the rule set, and eventually we use all the resource budget. The second part of WCRIB is about placement. There are functionality constraints, as some machines may not support some type of actions. And also there are some resource constraints in the network. The goal can be simply minimizing the traffic overhead or minimizing the delay or the cost of bandwidth usage via saved CPU. But the simplest one is the traffic overhead, and we chose that. Placement can be seen as a bipartite matching problem where we have partitions with different sizes and machines with different capacities. And placing partitions on each machine creates different traffic overhead. The problem is called generalized assignment problem, which is NP-hard to solve. So our approach is a very simple, and we chose a branch and bound approach that in each step we select the largest unassigned partition and place it on a switch or hypervisor that is capable of handling its rules in terms of functionality and resources and make minimum traffic overhead. So to summarize, the WCRIB architecture is presented in this slide. It receives rules from the operator and gathers traffic and topology information from the network. It partitions the rule set into a set of smaller rule sets that are non-overlapping with each other, and then saves each partition on different machines. Here, we show only one iteration of the algorithm, but in future, we may create more complex algorithms that have more iterations of partitioning and placement. So for evaluation, we want to test if the partitioning algorithm can create smaller partitions if it has more resources, and see if the placement algorithm can use the resource availability to reduce the traffic overhead. We ran a simulation on the topology that is shown here with 100 VMs per machine, and each creating 10K flows, and they will match the rules that are generated with a class bench rule generator. Also, the capacity of each switch is 1K rule. So we generated rule sets with 4K, 8K, 16K, and 32K size, and changed the rule capacity of hypervisors to show the different CPU budgets. The diagram shows that as we increase the capacity, we reach smaller partitions. But as we go further, it will be harder to create smaller partitions. For placement, we assigned random IPs for VMs for each machine and ran the placement algorithm. The diagram shows that the traffic overhead decreases as we increase hypervisor's capacity. Then, in aggregate setting, we have assigned a range of IP addresses to each machine and selected the VM addresses only in that from that range. So the VM addresses of each machine are one after another. In this case, the traffic overhead is lower, as each machine has flows only unlimited number of partitions. The graph shows that we cannot decrease the overhead after 7.5K load capacity. That we believe that this is because we save each partition only once in the network, and there's no replication. Suppose this scenario that two far away machines have traffic on one specific partition. And regardless of the fact that where I place this partition, I will always have traffic overhead. We believe that replication will solve these kind of scenarios. Testing the placement algorithm for other rule sets shows the same trend. In conclusion, Wikri provides an abstraction layer for placement of rules in the data center by placing rules both on hypervisors and switches to achieve the best performance given the resource constraints. For future work, we want to exploit the performance model of specific hypervisors and switches implementation. Remember the effect of wildcard patterns on the performance of OpenV switch. We can use that effect to reduce the CPU overhead and CPU usage of OpenV switch. Also, we develop an online algorithm that can adjust the placement of partitions based on traffic change. And at last, we need a replication scheme in our partitioning and placement algorithm. Thank you for your attention.
Okay, so I actually have a question. Can you go back to slide 19? Yeah, right. So right here, when you talk about the placement, isn't there a restriction? Like, how do I know which rules can go on which device? Isn't there some sort of restriction that certain rules can go on which device?
Should I disconnect it?
Actually, maybe not.
Okay. So, we get information from each switch that which kind of actions they can support when they connect, for example, with OpenFlow's protocol to the controller. So we know what kind of actions, what kind of rules they can support. And
okay, so this placement algorithm follows the restrictions on which switches can handle which rules. Okay. Further questions? Okay, let's thank the speaker. Oh, please go ahead. There's a question.
So this talks about distributing one bag of rules, but if you've got multiple tenants in the cloud, which presumably is the purpose of the cloud, some tenants will have some rules that won't apply and other tenants will have other rules. So how do you extend this mechanism to support multi-tenancy, or what are the implications on this of multi-tenancy?
It's okay to have multi-tenants. I don't understand why you see this approach for
it. Sounds like you're going to require all tenants, the rule base, to handle all rules for all tenants in all places.
Uh-huh.
That sounds like a recipe for lack of scaling to me in a cloud.
I see.
Especially in a cloud that encompasses more than one data center.
I see.
Which every cloud I've heard of is expected to.
Mm-hmm. In terms of scalability of the controller, we may distribute the implementation of the controller itself on multiple machines in our controller part of our data center. So our goal is to be able to handle actually the rules of multiple tenants and also the rules that the operator wants to save in the data center to manage it.
But different tenants will have different sets of rules that they want to use.
Yes.
So mushing them all together into one common pool and partitioning and allocating them is not going to work, as far as I can tell. But
it can be time consuming. Yes.
Okay. Let's continue that offline. Let's thank the speaker.